how old were you when you kind of got started playing or got interested in music?
I was about 16.
16.
16.
Junior high. That's almost high school.
Yeah, so I didn't play in school or anything. So I got kind of interested in music.
Yeah.
Around
that
time.
Yeah.
Just sort of trying to find some direction and.
Well, I mean, your father was an influence on you even up to that time, right?
Yes. Yeah.
What was your first instrument?
Saxophone.
Did you study off of your dad, or did you take lessons from somebody else?
Well, we had moved from the hill into East Liberty,
mm-hmm.
and the club was going
right
there. And I went around to the Frankstown Club, mm-hmm. and I met guys like Jimmy Armstrong, because they had a big band there.
Right.
I remember the first time I went in there, it was a big band going on in the club.
Yeah.
And I, you know, went and talked with all these guys, and they showed me how to build a Datsun.
Yeah.
So they told me how to get a teacher.
Right. Right.
So I started going to Cassis.
Pap
Cassis.
Right, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Did you ever do anything with Henry Marconi?
Henry Marconi also, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
They were quite...
Because he was out at... Cecil was on Robinson Boulevard then.
Oh, okay. That's before he moved farther out.
Right, yeah. Yeah.
Did you... and you didn't do any playing at all in school?
No.
Okay. It was all after graduation and everything. When did you join the union? About what year?
Let me see, I'm hard on...
On time. Was it...
It was down the club, and they had moved up the hill right there on Center Avenue.
Oh, then you had joined before we came to East Liberty.
Yeah, I mean, I had joined down there, but everything had... I had put money down because I had got a...
Like a work permit.
Right, yeah.
Right,
because I had got a gig with Georgie Benson.
Okay.
And I had to join them.
Right.
And so we went down to... The office is right there on...
Yeah, because we had a little
center.
Temporary office for a while.
Oh, right, yeah.
It was like in transition coming up here. So that was maybe 55 or 6, somewhere around that period of time, because 54 was when we left, you know, that's when they tore the hill down. I mean, they were getting rid of us.
Yeah, then they moved up.
Right, and we moved out a couple of places. Yeah, we moved there, then we came out here. Because I think by 57, I think we were in East Liberty, by 57.
Mm-hmm.
Because I remember the Apollos, the group Art and Ants. And
right,
us,
yeah.
See,
yeah.
And that was, I remember that as 57. Well, and that's good, because what we have a picture session coming up the first Sunday in September. September the 7th, and you'll get a notice because everybody's on the mailing list, and we want to do it at the arena. And we call ourselves it's a survival legacy is what the caption we're going to do. But as many of the older members that were in prior to 1966, see, because 66 was merge time, and we're more concerned with people that either went to East Liberty or went down the hill. They're the ones that we want to get to.
Mm-hmm.
And if you can remember any other youngsters that joined at that time, if you can remember the names of anybody, any of them, those guys, whether or not they're still playing, but if, I don't know whether you keep in touch with them or not, but we would like to know who they were, you know, because all the older members are the ones that we want, you know. Was he very instrumental in helping you along, or did he just let you go for your, find it yourself?
He kind of let me find it myself.
Yeah.
He would take me around to hear, you know, I remember he took me to hear, like, Robert Webster, and they were playing in Homewood.
Mm-hmm. Was that like at the 88 Bar or the Loft?
This was at Rose Bar.
Rose Bar. Oh, okay. Rose Bar.
Right. Yeah. It was during the time when Cambrell played there.
Right, right, right. Yeah.
And they had, and the what was the guy that played the Walt Bradford?
Oh, Walt Bradford. Yeah.
It was during that time. Right. Yeah, and I remember meeting all those guys there.
And Hap Mahon.
Hap Mahon. Right. Yeah. It was during that time.
Yeah.
And then.
And down the street was Horsley's.
Right. Fred Pryor used to let us sit. Was guy would let us sit in with it with them. We come up and play a few times with them.
Cause in
Sonny Stanton.
Sonny Stanton.
Right.
And did he have the trombone player McGee, or was that Willie Love? Willie Love had the trombone player.
Yeah, right? Willie Love had Dickie McGee.
Dickie McGee. Yeah. Right. They went to Canada.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right. Okay. Did you know a guy, Boyd, Andrew Boyd? He's a bass player that used to work with Willie Beck and them. Was that Crossfires?
Okay, I remember him, yeah.
Okay, because he works over north side at the Carnegie Library over there, and he was talking to Liddy, and she works downstairs for the senior citizens. And he, you know, said he was a member and so forth, and he went and got a roster, but it's the merged 6471 book from 1965 or 67, and I saw his name in there. And I've talked to him, but when he mentioned, you know, Willie Beck and Crossfires and things, because I was just doing something else, you know, and those kind of groups didn't interest me. But I remember I went in, then Hooks, the guy from down the hill, up from the Savoy. Remember the guy that used to have Sunday sessions, and then he took over Starlight, the place on Frankstown?
Yeah, yeah.
Right, because that's where George Benson got the job with Jack McDuff. See, because the night that he went out and played a little bit and talked to Jack McDuff, I went down to visit Harold Vick, because I was a tenor player, and he had been on Lloyd's band with me. You know, so I went in to see him, and George was in. We were sitting at the table, and George was noticed, naturally, you know, but he got the gig that night. Did you, were there many other groups that you played with coming through, you know, like, did you try to get in with some of the other groups in your early days? Or was that George Benson thing the...
Yeah, that was just lasted a short while because he was out where the club was. It was called the Frontier. It was after the Musicians Club.
Oh, okay.
You remember it was the Frontier Club.
Something like that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. And then you stayed. When did you? Oh, you're still a member, so you haven't given up your membership. That's good. Did you, when the merge happened, did you feel any, did anything happen for you? Was anything beneficial out of the merge in terms of your music? Or are you still connected with the brothers in the 471 part of it? Have you, other than George G, huh?
Yeah, that was as far as, you know, that was, I guess, that part of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because not too many guys really, you know, really managed to get involved, whether or not, you know, to say whose fault it was, you know, but very few guys, you know, and then there's a few of those big bands that, you know, managed to use a couple of guys. Lucarelli, did you ever do anything with Jerry Lucarelli? And then?
No, I never.
But you did some things with George Z.
George Z,
yeah. Because I often commend him because he really opened the doors for a lot of the young black musicians here.
Yeah, and then I worked with who was the guy that had the band? You worked with him sometime.
Oh, Tim Rogers.
Tim Rogers.
Yeah, Tim. Yes. Right. But see, And so I don't remember Tim early off, but because this other group that I'm in, the Bird Band, that's a spinoff from Tim Rogers,
mm-hmm.
you know, with mm-hmm. Kenny Powell and mm-hmm. Dale and those guys. They got another band, but I had done some things with Tim when the Bird Band started.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so then I went with the Bird Band. I've done with both, you know. Did you frequent? Well, you couldn't get in down the hill.
No, I was too young.
You were too young at that
time.
Because
when they moved to East Liberty,
mm-hmm.
I was a teenager then. That's when I got interested in
mm-hmm.
in, you know, playing the horn.
Yeah.
The club was out there.
Right. Right.
And you know, I would go around
right.
there a lot.
Because that's when you started coming over to my house.
Right. Yeah.
You and
Roy. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Did you go to how often did you go in the musicians club? Quite a bit.
Yeah.
Now, do you recall any celebrities or any you know big time people coming in and playing and so forth?
But I remember that we would go out there, and all those guys would come out there, and they would have like the sessions down.
Mm-hmm.
Down in the basement
mm-hmm.
downstairs.
Mm-hmm.
Forrest Silver and all those guys.
Mm-hmm.
And
Chick Corea.
Yeah, and then George Coleman and all those guys would be down there.
Yeah.
They would come out there after the Sly Hampton
mm-hmm.
band.
Mm-hmm.
I guess
they were nine or the 14 piece? A big
right,
band.
The nine piece.
Oh, the nine piece, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Because that's what Joe Harris was trying to do, trying to get the nine-piece thing up on that stage. And I kept telling you, you ain't going to get nine guys up there
uh-huh.
with all the equipment and everything.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. But he was talking about that. Did you ever do anything in with George Krigler in the concert bands?
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that was just a little bit when I came. He had the concert band.
Right.
I played with them.
Right.
And then he died
right.
soon. Then I played under Doc Tate then. Tate took over the concert band.
But then they moved to the Elks, I think.
Because
I don't think they stayed with the Union that much, you know.
At the club. Because it was a little while at the
right.
club. Yeah.
Right, and then I think they went to the Elks.
Mm-hmm.
Right, because mm-hmm. he was part of the Elks band.
Right,
see.
Yeah.
But because I did, I think, a couple of those concerts with Krigler, because I remember one concert that we did, and we did a thing for WQED, at, you know, the old Channel 13 on Belfield,
mm-hmm.
and I remember that. Then I remember one concert that we had played, and Albert got my money, you know, some kind of way he got my money, and he came to the house, and he put a dollar bill on every step, and I came in from work that evening. And as I come in the door, and I'm just, by the time I get to talk by, it's just cracking up, because I knew what it was, because that was Albert's thing. Then what he used to do after he moved to Detroit, he used to call me, you know, I'm coming in, you know, this weekend, Chuck, I'll be in. So he called me from the turnpike, or as soon as he got off, you know, and say, okay, Chuck, I'll be in by such and such a time. And I'd put the stand up and get my horn out, and he'd come to my house. And we'd play and play and play and play.
Go back to Memphis.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah.
So, and then after we'd play a while, then he'd call his mother and tell her, I'm home and I'll be down, I'll be by pretty soon, you know. But he'd always stop at my house
mm-hmm.
and we'd play. And other than Albert, I don't have that close a trumpet camaraderie. You know, I mean, we play all kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But I can't get these guys now to want to sit down and play.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
I did at one while. I had Calvin Huey and Morris Jefferson and Daleen. You know, Daleen comes down to Hill House with the flugelhorn and the African hat.
Oh, yeah.
The photographer.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So how long did you study with Pat Cassis or...
I guess mm-hmm. about 5 or 6 years.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. When you, and did they teach clarinet?
Yeah.
Know, they specified
yeah.
that.
Yeah.
You ever do anything on flute?
Yeah, I had studied some with Bernie Goldberg.
Bernie Goldberg, yeah. It was because Brown, and then Brown used to play a little bit, you know. Mm-hmm. And John Mischa. Remember John Mischa? Trumpet and sax.
See, I didn't really know that.
Okay, yeah. that's a little early, but and flute.
Mm-hmm.
Because I couldn't, well, although Benny Carter does it, but I can't get that concept of saxophone and trumpet.
That's right, yeah, I can't.
That's right.
Yeah.
Because when I was in the Navy, I saw Benny Carter. I went on leave, Station Great Lakes, and he was up in Milwaukee. Mm-hmm. And I went up to hear him, and I couldn't, because I have difficulty going from trumpet to trombone. You know, it's a brass thing,
mm-hmm,
you know.
Mm-hmm.
But to go this way, against this way, mm-hmm, I mean, it was really weird. When did you start writing, or when did you get interested in the keyboard? Say that.
Oh, it was around the time when I went over to, was around with Nancy Davidson,
over at Pitt. Right.
I played in the band,
you know,
and then I was. You know, the guys would say,
get some
keyboard
right
here. You know, it would help see the overall picture.
Do you find that it works?
Oh, yeah.
Sure, it works. how many local groups have you been in? You know, like, did you ever do anything with a Walt Harper or, you know...
No, I never got a chance to play with Wall.
You've done some things with Harold on occasion.
A few things with Harold Betters and
other than that, we ain't got no established bands here. They're all gone.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and most of your work, what has it been like? Clubs did you ever do the cabaret things?
Some of that.
And did you do the Doc Booker, you know, the Clareton, Downbeat, and those things, and then down through the valley,
mm-hmm,
you know, down that way? Yeah. Then it ain't changed. How did you find the older members, the treatment from the older members when you first joined the union? Was it kind of cordial? Were they friendly, open, and helpful?
I found them very cordial. Yeah.
And helpful.
Yeah.
What about? Because I think Joe Westray was. Did you go to sessions in his place over there?
Yeah, Joe Westray.
How long have you been involved with the library here? About what year did you, you know, come over here?
Well, when it first started, around in the 70s.
Okay.
And that was around here about, around 20 years or so now.
Yeah. Did you do anything with Ducky and them when they were here? Ducky and Cotton and Booney?
Well, I was here then, and then I had left when they were here.
Okay. Yeah, because see, they actually, it was Ozanam that they took over and mm-hmm, brought it here. Mm-hmm. You know. Okay. So you've been here 20 years or so.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And how many changes in, you know, like instrument teachers, like the drummers and brass and so forth?
Oh, it's been
quite a turnover over the years.
Over the years, yeah.
Because I think, I'm trying to think, was Pete ever here as a teacher? Or
Pete was here a little while.
For a while,
yeah.
Oh, he was, okay. Because I know Danny, I remember when Danny Donahue, I think Danny wait a minute, or am I confusing myself with Kappa? I know he went to Kappa for a while after Roger was up there. I don't know. When you, did you ever, you were never in any rehearsal bands like I asked you about Lucarelli and some of those other bands. George G was the only big band.
Yeah, because, you know, there was a time there, I remember, when that all kind of,
yeah, fizzled out.
It kind of faded out.
Yeah.
Like during the time when I came in, and it was most, and I didn't get any of that kind of thing until it was with the when Nathan came.
Right, right.
So then I started getting a chance to read a lot.
Right,
you know, in his
because that was in the
70s. Yeah.
Because he came and I remember we had tried to get a. We were trying to get as many of the black guys as we could in the Pittsburgh Jazz All-Stars, the band that he has now.
Uh-huh.
And Lee Gross, I think Cotton was there for a little bit, and Rabbit, and but it just, you know, the reading thing uh-huh. was a problem, and he wanted people that could read it and play it.
Yeah.
Not take it home and learn
uh-huh.
it, you know.
Uh-huh.
And then it just turned around, and then it went to where he wound up with all those white guys, you
uh-huh.
know, in the band. But it's been 20 or more that I've been dealing with Nathan over at Pitt.
Yeah, because I played over there in the Pitt.
Right.
And that kind of helped me.
Right, right.
I mean, they got my reading that
right.
up to a point where.
Right, right. And it's a thing, you have to do
you
it.
You know, where I, yeah,
right.
yeah
you
where I
it.
Got to,
yeah.
where I learned that whole big band, you
right.
know, where you could look at
right.
the rhythms
right.
and stuff
right.
like that. And after that, I didn't have too much
right.
trouble with,
right.
you know, if I had to sit down
right.
in a big band, I'd
have. Yeah. yeah, you had a better idea,
yeah.
a better grasp of
mm-hmm.
it. Did you ever, you know, hook up with guys and just practice and play things with? I mean, who did you... you know, kind of hang with and work things out with? Or did you do it mostly by yourself?
Yeah, it was kind of about,
yeah.
you know, then around the time we had the little thing with Wade Powell and I,
okay,
know, the
Wade.
Little group we had for a few years
okay.
with Jesse and
right.
Howard Russell.
Okay, okay. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Were you writing music by that time, you know, with Jesse and Howard?
Yeah, I was trying to.
You were trying to push
know,
stuff
write a few
yeah.
things out.
What, mostly two-part?
It was mostly
two
yeah,
horns. And,
two horn things.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's, you know. Yeah. Well, you take a lot of things off of the recordings.
Off recordings,
yeah.
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 When you. When you were going around listening, I mean, who were some of the saxophone players here in town that were somewhat, you know, helpful
okay,
to you?
Yeah,
there was.
Well, I remember when those guys were coming, like Stanley and all the guys
mm-hmm.
were coming home from the service.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And they stayed here for a little
yeah.
short while.
Before they
Stanley and Art.
Yeah, and Clarence, because they were together.
Clarence, and I would listen.
Yeah.
I would
yeah.
always come around
yeah.
and, like,
yeah.
I think wherever y'all played,
yeah.
you know, we would drive
would,
out to even the small
oh, yeah.
towns.
Yeah,
there,
yeah,
you know, like
yeah,
the,
yeah. The Apollos.
Yeah,
believe me,
Clarence.
Yeah.
yeah. All right.
Yeah.
You know, I always liked those guys.
Yeah, yeah. And when we were on the Room 59, we went to Louisville, and they were down in the Army together because Sam had called to the base. He talked to Stanley and Art, you know, at that time.
Mm-hmm.
And we didn't get to see them, you know. I don't know what had happened. We were only there, you know, passing through or whatever. But I remember when Art got out of the Army, and then when you listen to Stanley, listen to Art, you know who's who.
Yeah, I remember that.
They were
yeah, I remember that.
So
yeah.
much.
Yeah,
you know, and then even with Stanley gone, and I did a couple of things with Art, just, I mean, they were sporadic.
Mm-hmm.
But it's, you're still here. You
okay,
know?
Yeah.
I mean, it's not like he's listening every day, you know, and that close contact, but it's whatever
involved. When they were in the service.
Yeah, but both of them, I mean, mm-hmm. they play, and even Art still has that flavor to his playing now, mm-hmm. you know. He does a picnic thing, in fact, last Sunday.
Right. Did you go?
I couldn't.
Yeah.
I had to work. You know. And I've missed it. This is the third year, I believe, or the second year. And I just, you know, I get the invitation, and 2 days later I get a call, and I'm working that same day. You know.
Mm.
Yeah. Did you... how supportive? Okay, when you were a part of the Beaumont Black Musicians of Pittsburgh, the court case, did you follow the lead and not go to the union office? Would you mail in your dues? How would you take care of your business, or would you go down sometime and pay your dues?
I would mail in, you know. Then if I was real late, you know, I would go down.
Yeah. Because that was, I think Nelson was the one that came up with that so-called boycott business. And I remember them talking about not going down, you know, and so forth. Did you go to very many of the union meetings, you know, the merge meetings, you know, when it first happened?
When the merge first happened?
Yeah. Because, I mean, we used to go to William Penn Hotel for a while. And then they switched them to the Elks, you know, on Penn Avenue. Well, where Heinz Hall is now, the back entrance. You should go to the Elks there. And then after that, then they moved them out to Bloomfield. Like Moose.
See, that was the Moose. Yeah, I went to
I wouldn't go because I couldn't go to the Moose Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesdays. And that's when I stopped.
Yeah,
going.
I didn't go to many, you know, but I was just...
have you done any traveling? Have you been with any, you know, like territory bands or bands and done any kind of traveling at all?
Not much traveling.
No.
I went out with a few times, like the guy said, with some of the, when the organ thing,
mm-hmm.
I got a chance to work a little bit.
Okay. But it was all, you know, wasn't too far.
It wasn't too far, no, you know, through Cleveland
and
all around and that, kind of, but not too far.
Your D.C. connection, you go down there, do you play a lot when you go down there?
I get a chance to work a lot down there, you know, like, because I've met a lot of guys, and through this club that these
mm-hmm.
guys have,
mm-hmm.
I get a chance to work some things,
mm-hmm.
you know, like concerts and
mm-hmm.
some
mm-hmm.
of the club things
down
there.
Right.
I was just there, like, a couple of weeks ago.
Let's see. So you were about 16 when you started playing. So you've been playing, what, about 30 years, 35 years?
Yeah.
About 35
mm-hmm.
years.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Do you find, is your enthusiasm and interest and desire, it hasn't peaked, has it? It's still there. I mean, there's more to come, or do you feel you've about done it and you're hanging on now?
Yeah,
because it's, I mean, it's a sad state of affairs here in this town, you know, because the work scene is so minimal, you
uh-huh.
know, and then we've allowed ourselves to get in this position where they don't want to pay us, you know, which is a big drag, you know. Do you have any private students? Are you teaching privately? or you just do the sessions here?
Right now, I don't have any private students, but this is about all the teaching, you know.
Right here.
Yeah.
And are there any likely prospects? Any of the students look, that there is some bright future for them, or are they just coming out on Saturdays and?